so thankful we can put our trust in him and minister. Praise God. Please be in prayer. We had prayer Tuesday night, of course, and we put the two events that are coming up with youth mission. I don't know how we ended up with 55 youth from Missouri coming our way, but we do have them coming. And so that will be the 21st. And then our Alaska Yukon Youth Mission team, God bless them, that will be on Thursday that same week, the 23rd. So looking forward to those events. And be in prayer. Be in prayer, because I think the potential of being a positive witness in terms of youth doing good things is very strong as far as a witness. And then certainly the power of the Lord to minister through them, not just as examples, but through the blessing of the Holy Ghost, speaking the truth in love and letting the Holy Ghost minister. Praise God. I'm thankful that we can have that happen in our midst. Amen. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51 is where we want to turn to tonight. Praise God. I'm very thankful for the Lord to minister to us and to help us and draw us closer to him. Praise God. Isaiah 51, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Would you stand, please? Let's read these two verses together and just get a basis for what we're going to be looking at here tonight. All right, Isaiah 51 and 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Praise God. Amen. So, we'll call this verbs for victory. Don't you just love to be reminded of school? Right here in the middle of summer. Verbs for victory. You may be seated. The verbs that I'm speaking about are in verse 1. Follow, seek, and look. Now, to identify those verbs for victory and to make them work to secure victory, you have to be selective. You have to be choosy. You have to make sure you're going down the right path. For example, to follow. 3 John 11 says, Beloved, follow not that which is evil. Okay, so we're making a choice. We're going to follow that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Now, once you see his power, once you recognize the blessing of his name and his strength, there's going to be a change. Amen. Once you see the example of his love upon the cross and the power of his resurrection, there will be a change in your life. And thank God that change is powerful. Seeking. Psalm 119, 155. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. They're not interested in the word of God, because the word of God will bring conviction. The word of God will bring guidance and instruction. So they didn't want the word of God. Therefore, they're not able to find salvation, because salvation is in the word of the Lord. But they're not seeking that, so they're missing out. And we've got to choose, I'm going to seek the Lord. To look, Psalm 101 and verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. There's a good choice, isn't it? And the electronic realm has expanded. Even exploded. In terms of its ubiquitous nature. It's everywhere. Okay, so I've got to make that choice continually, not just with regular programming and that sort of thing, but in every other option. I'm not going to set a wicked thing before me, no. Off it goes. And so I make that choice. So what do verbs show? Action. Verbs show action. Follow, seek, look. You're acting on those terms. So we remain active in living for God. It's not, we come to church and we use these pews once in a while. You're using them now, the first time in 28 minutes that you're using them, maybe. Because we stand a lot. And sometimes we're up and down quite a bit. But generally, you come to the house of the Lord and you occupy the pew for most of the time. But that is only because you're an attentive audience. Because you want to hear the word of God without distraction. And all of those aspects then fall into play. But we know how active our walk with God is. Amen. We make our way to the house of the Lord at least two, perhaps three times out of the week. We have home groups that we meet with. We have youth and our young adults, young marriage groups, and so on. All of these various ways that we come together. And not just us, and just not us four no more, but it's an outreach aspect that's involved there as well. Every time we come together, and generally food is associated, so that's a good draw. A lot of people are interested in food. Let them know. Hey, we're meeting together over here. We've got some good food. Come on and join us. It'll be a great time of just sitting around together. Amen. And we use the words like fellowship and so on. We use churchy terms. Don't use churchy terms with them. Just make it plain. Make it the vernacular. And not profane, obviously, but just in their language. Amen. And so, action. Praise God. But now, notice in this verse, follow after righteousness. There's a flee and follow principle that's in the Word of God. Flee, follow. Paul used that when he was talking to the young pastor Timothy. 1 Timothy 6 and 11. But thou, O man of God. Now here he is. He's ready to give him instruction now. Listen up, Timothy. Here comes some important instruction for you. Here's what you got to do. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And the context is materialism. The context is money. So don't get hung up on those things. Don't think that's the priority. No, you flee those things and you follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Amen. And you see a list like this and your mind flashes back to Galatians 5 and recognize that he's beginning a list here that is very similar to the fruit of the Spirit, which he says, against such there's no law. In other words, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not going to get you in trouble. It's going to be positive things that you add to your life. Thank God that's what God does for us. Amen. Not things that are going to bring the law down on you, although our country is heading in a very strange way, and we're being pressured to be tolerant, but there's less and less tolerance being shown to us as Christians, as followers of the Word of God. But that's not going to change what I'm following. Amen. And I'm still going to follow after righteousness. The second flee follow principle that Paul shared with Timothy is in 2 Timothy 2 and 22. Flee also youthful lusts. Now that's interesting that he designates it by age. It's almost as though he is saying only the youth are subjected to this problem. Those who are older don't have that problem. No, that's not true. What he's saying, however, is there's a maturity that should come. There's a recognition that should come that, here's a trap, here's a temptation, I'm getting out of here. And sometimes youth with the lack of experience is not able to recognize that immediately. And so they end up getting bounced and bumped a little bit. But they too are going to recognize, uh-oh, this is heading for trouble. I'm out of here. And regardless of it's a click with a mouse or in town with friends or whatever it might be. Amen. We're going to flee those things and follow. Everybody say follow. Righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen. Thank the Lord that there would be that aspect of following. And we continue in that realm of knowing how good our God is. The second verb is seek. We're going to seek the Lord. Isaiah 55, I noticed as I was preparing this that there's a lot of good instruction in Isaiah. Isaiah just has a lot of unique aspects about it. It's got 66 books. It's probably the prophet that is quoted the most in the Gospels. It's got some amazing oneness precepts in it, principles in it, from especially in the 40 chapters, Numbers 40 through 48 and so on. Just incredible. But here in Isaiah 55 and 6, the Lord says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Now, that time stamp indicator is not really a time stamp, but it's indicating that there is a expiration time on here. While he is near, call upon him. Seek him while he may be found. Because there will come a time, it will happen, that he's not going to be near. He's not going to be found. And we've got to take advantage of the opportunities that God has for us now. Amen. And thank God, in the context, we read about the wicked forsaking his way and stepping away from unrighteous thoughts and to return to the Lord for mercy and abundant pardon. I like that. Abundantly pardoning us. And then this is the passage also that compares our thoughts with his thoughts, our ways with his ways. And we recognize, oh man, there's an incredible difference. A huge difference. That his ways are far beyond our ways, and his thoughts are much greater than our thoughts. That's not a put down. That's not a, oh, you puny little humans, you don't know even what, you can't even spell divine, much less understand it. The Lord's not doing that. He's just trying to help us to understand he's so great. He's so powerful. He's so wonderful. He's so awesome. We run out of adjectives. What do adjectives do? They describe. We can't even describe our God. He is so wonderful. Amen. So powerful. And that's what he's trying to get across to us. And he's trying to invite us. Seek me while I may be found. Draw near. Amen. And call upon him. And so on. Thank God that we know that power and blessing. Now, Jeremiah 29 and 13. Here the Lord gives the invitation about finding him. And thank God he emphasizes this aspect of knowing that we will find him. Jeremiah 29, 13. "You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." See, that's the key, with all your heart. So often, it's a little side interest that people have in the things of God. They'll give it a try until something more interesting comes along. And they scratch the surface of an experience with God and don't really dig in and then move on to some, you know, almost like being at a carnival. Oh, I'm going to go try that. Oh, let's go taste that. Oh, that looks like fun. And moving away from the things of God instead of being anchored in the walk with God. Seek him and you'll find him, especially when you seek him with all your heart. Jeremiah 29 and 11 is a passage that we know that is on posters and bookmarks and all kinds of things, especially the NIV version. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And you hear that quoted, you hear that mentioned, you hear it on the radio, and it's a good verse, praise God. I'm very thankful for that. But the people who hold that, the people who quote that, the people who believe that, need to understand that doesn't automatically happen. It happens when you're seeking the Lord. It happens when you're searching for Him with all your heart. Not just, oh, God's got this plan for me, cool. We'll just go right on here. And then forget about the things of God and His Word that needs to be in our hearts. Oh, God, help us. It's not autopilot. Amen. Let the Lord lead you and guide you. Praise God. So look to the rock, the Bible says. Peter, remember, is called a stone. And there are some who think he's the rock Jesus was talking about that he will build his church upon. No, it's not. It's not that. A beautiful song about the rock of revelation. Amen. A rock of revelation, a beautiful truth from the Word of God. That's what the Lord is going to build His church on. When Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," the Lord said, "You're Peter, you're a stone, but it's this rock, this revelation that I'm going to build my church upon." Praise God of who the Lord is, and thank the Lord, that's who He desires to uplift, that powerful name of Jesus. Isaiah 32 and 2, a man. And here's the situation. A man is being pointed out here in Isaiah 32 and 2. And we've got to make sure we're seeking the right man, not the Antichrist. That's who's going to be stepping forward with the answers to today's dilemmas, to the problems that are not just in one society, but worldwide. Monetary problems, ethnic problems, religious problems. All kinds of situations that defy solution. A man is going to be a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadows of a great rock in a weary land. I'm glad we know who that man is. The man, Christ Jesus, the only mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. A thirsty and parched land. There's a rock that we can be stabilized upon, built upon. Praise God. And I'm thankful that we can have that power. Isaiah 45 and 22, the Lord gives an invitation based on this verb of looking. The action that's got to be there. Not just an apathetic look, not just an indifferent look, but a look that will draw you to Him, a look that will bring you into His power and presence. Look unto me, He says, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else. This is part of that oneness part that I was telling you about, that is so prevalent in the 40 chapters of Isaiah. Verse 21, the Lord is declaring that He's the one from ancient time. He is God and Savior. There's none besides Him. Amen. Look to the rock from whence you are hewn. Anybody ever hew rock? Ever do that? I've dug ditches. I've chopped wood. I've drilled rock. Horrible job. It was so funny. We had 4-foot rods that we were drilling, and our boss decided he didn't. I can see it in my mind. He decided a 6-foot rod would be better. Well, who in the world's going to stand there and hold the drill with a 6-foot rod? But he got on top of a bucket, and he thought he was going to use that 6-foot rod and show us all how it was going to be done. Well, yeah, you get 2 more feet, and the powder goes down in there, and we blast, and we do it all over again. Well, it looks so funny because that drill just bounces all over the place, you know, pneumatic drill. And he fell off the bucket. No, we tried not to laugh. But I've never hewed stone, never done it. Moses had to do that. The Lord said, hew some stones, carry them up the mountain. I'm going to write again. Now, the opportunity to see God write, that would be pretty impressive, pretty amazing to see him write the first time. But Moses came down the mountain and broke those stones, broke up the golden idol. And somebody said, Moses is the first one to break all Ten Commandments. Well, but he had to hew those stones, carry them up. Oh my goodness. Carry them back down. I don't know if he's muttering under his breath or not. These people, I don't know if they're worth it. I got to carry the word of God for them. Oh, he knew it was worth it. He knew it was worth it for himself. But just consider this now, the hewing out of stone. Now, don't make the mistake of Israel in Jeremiah 2 and 13. Here the Lord is lamenting what they did. They've committed two evils, he said. Not just one, two. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. The second mistake, and here again, this is where I try to imagine the work that went into this. The effort, the time, the sweat. The second mistake, they've hewn cisterns. What does a cistern do? That's not including the ladies when we say brethren. Brethren and cistern, no. A cistern is a pool for, or a pool of water, a rock container for water. They didn't have steel back then for, you know, big old galvanized tanks. Didn't have aluminum. They hewed out of stone these cisterns. But the mistake was they couldn't hold water. They'd make a way for water to run into the cistern, and almost as quick as it was running in, it was running out. What a dumb mistake. Stupid to forsake the Lord, first of all, and then incredibly dumb to do all of that work of hewing out cisterns and then just to see the water leak out. That's the way it is when people turn away from the things of God. When they no longer follow the principles of this word, when they decide, I've got a better idea, I've got a better way to go, no, it doesn't turn out. And maybe the water didn't run out as quickly as it was going in, but perhaps they filled it up in a day. And then all that night and the next day, it was leaking out, and pretty soon it's down to the bottom again. And all the effort and work of refilling it doesn't make sense. No, stay with what God has for you. Don't let the devil siphon away your blessing and power. Don't let him poke holes in your experience and let the Spirit of God leak out of you. But stay with it. Praise God. Amen. And remember, there's a pit that he brought you out of. David said it so beautifully. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Psalm 40 and verse 2. Praise God. Joseph, the journey from the pit that his brothers threw him down in. And then the, how many years? 17 years? He was 17 when that happened, 13 when he made it to, or 13 years rather, later he's at the palace. So quite a journey. And then who knows how many more years, 10 years maybe, before his brother showed up and bowed before him and his dream was fulfilled. So it's quite a journey. But God will bring it about. God will make it happen. Praise God. I'm thankful he brought us out of a pit, and we're going to be in his presence forever. Glory to God. Not going to go back to that pit. I'm not going to go back to that miry clay. Amen. I'm going to stay on the rock. He established my goings. Praise God. And I'm thankful that we can know that power and that blessing. Now, Follow, seek, look. And then he gives us an example, Abraham. Not just Abraham, Sarah. He's saying, okay, let me give you an example here of who followed righteousness, who sought the Lord, who looked to the rock from whence they were digged, whence they were hewn, and out of the pit from whence they were digged. Praise God. Thank the Lord that Abraham followed the call of God. He sought the Lord faithfully. He looked for a city, Hebrews 11 and 10 says, whose builder and maker was God. It had foundations. Praise God. His tent didn't have foundations. His tent was because he was nomadic, and not nomadic because he was following herds, or he's following harvest, or he's following weather patterns. He's following the Lord. That's why he stayed in a tent. But his faith was reaching out for a city that had foundations, not going to be moved. Praise God. There's shaking that's going on today, that the things that can be moved shall be moved, because the things that can't be moved are going to remain. And that's where we're looking. That's what we're holding on to. That's where we're believing God for. Praise God. So Abraham, as an Old Testament character, I found, is mentioned in at least five different books in the New Testament. At least five, maybe more. You can take a look at that with your electronic concordance and see if there's more than five different books that Abraham is mentioned in the New Testament. But that's quite a few. Several different authors who are saying Abraham's important. Take a look at his life. Praise God. But let me quickly add here, like the scripture says, and Sarah. Because look at our text. Our text back in Isaiah 51 and 2. God said, I called him, I blessed him, I increased him. Now, Abraham was a rich man. Abraham had many flocks. That's why he and Lot had to separate, remember? Because their herdsmen, their shepherds, were starting to come in conflict about who's going to get to the well first. Who's going to have the water for their flock? You got too many. Lot, you choose. And we know Lot made a poor choice. A good choice as far as what he could see in terms of prosperity, but not a good choice in terms of spiritual blessing. And he ended up losing out. Terrible, terrible thing. But Abraham continued to be blessed. Abraham continued to be spiritually sensitive, so that when he made sacrifice, the power of God would come and fire from heaven would burn the pieces of sacrifice that he put in place. Spiritually sensitive, that when the angels came his way, he knew to entertain them. He knew to get the message from them. And then he called upon God all of those times like an auctioneer in reverse. Oh, 50, Lord, 50. 45, 40, oh, 30, 20, 10, all the way down. He's praying, oh, God, save Lot. That was his spiritual heritage. That was his spiritual walk with God. Ishmael came as a result of their thinking of this is how to help God out. You don't need to help God out unless he's directing you to. Amen. He'll bring it to pass. He'll do the work. That doesn't mean you're on automatic pilot here. You just cruise. No. You're being sensitive to what God is directing you to do and God guiding you. Praise God. But the increase, the heir, came because of Sarah. Thank God for godly women. Thank God for women who are devoted to the Lord, committed to serving God with their husband and knowing that there's blessing that will come together. So Isaac, praise God, Isaac is born. Abraham laughed. You know, it's Sarah who is almost reprimanded for laughing that two old people would have a child. But Abraham laughed first. Yeah, it's there. You can find it. Genesis 17:17, Abraham laughed. And then 18:12, Sarah laughed. But the Lord got the last laugh, because Isaac was born, and his name means laughter. Rejoicing. Thank God, that's what the Lord brings us into. Thank the Lord that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful for the blessings of God. So Sarah is mentioned at least four times in the New Testament. And the Jews, remember in John 8 in particular, they were so trying to trap Jesus, trying to trip him up, trying to poke holes in his theology, trying to find where he is being contrary to the law and all of these things. And they're boasting, Abraham is our father. Well, if Abraham's your father, you do the work of your father Abraham. No, you're the father of the devil. He's a liar and the father of it. That's who your father is. Oh boy, don't you know they got aggravated? And then that's when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And in even the aspersions they cast on Jesus, we be not born of fornication. Hint, hint. Huh. Smear, smear. That's what they're trying to do. Jesus didn't back up. Jesus didn't turn away. Jesus was not intimidated. Before Abraham was, I am. Now remember, before that, John the Baptist preaching in a powerful way, Matthew 3:9. Don't you boast that you've got Abraham to your father. God is able to raise up stones and make them children of Abraham. Don't think you're so special. You know, and then we as Pentecostals have got to be on guard against that attitude as well. We're the people of the name. We have the power of the Spirit and all. And we almost can get into a cruise control attitude here that we got it made. We're on our way. No, there's got to be, like Elijah, a time to tell others to sit down, shut up, and we're going to call on God, and God's going to answer by fire. Yeah, that's got to happen. It's got to. Because the hour is coming when what is real is going to be revealed. And let it be real in you now. Amen. And God help us. Praise God. Thank the Lord that God can raise us up. So we're sons of Abraham. Our father is Abraham. They're real proud of that. But I noticed here in the scripture, 1 Peter 3:6, that the Bible talks about being daughters of Sarah. Okay? So the Lord's saying, all right, you follow, you seek, you look. Here's Abraham and Sarah, who did that already. And you look to them as godly examples. You look to them as people who have followed after righteousness and sought me and looked to me and did all of these things that are righteous. Amen. And so, 1 Peter 3:6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. The margin says terror. Don't be trapped in that aspect of fear. Verse 5 of 1 Peter 3:6 talks about the old time holy women. Thank God for old time holy women. Amen. And the world would laugh and point a finger and say, you're so old fashioned, you're so outdated, you're way behind the times. But thank God we're identifying with old time holy women. Amen. And I'll show you why that's important. So, Peter is writing, that's who you identify with. Not the outward adornment. Not extravagant hairdos. Not jewelry. Not fine apparel. Don't, you know, and that's not to say that in order to be holy, You've got to be frumpy. And to be holy, you got to look like a hag. Haggy holiness. That sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? No, we're not saying that. We're not saying that. No, you're going to glorify God. You're going to show that the Lord is being honored by the choices you're making. And God's not honored if you look haggy. God's not honored if you look frumpy and grumpy and all of that sort of thing. No, we're not doing the outward adornment. It's not extravagant hairdos, not gold and jewelry, not fine or expensive apparel and so on. No, we're not focusing on those things. Does that mean you can't buy nice things? No, I've discovered, and you ladies probably knew this long before me, that if you spend a little bit more on a sport coat, lo and behold, it lasts longer. My wife gets tired of seeing it, but I like it, and it just it fits good, and it feels good. And I spent a little bit more, and I got a quality garment. But I sure didn't spend $1,000 for it. See, that's the difference. That's where we're going here, see? Be like Sarah. Godly example. 1 Peter 3 and 4. Let me read from the Amplified what Peter is getting across here. He's saying this is what we're not going to do. It's not outward adornment, not extravagant hairdos, not gold and jewelry, not fine apparel and costly garments and so on. No, this is what it should be, though. The inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart. With the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up, but is very precious in the sight of God. The world mocks it, the world ridicules it, but it's precious in God's sight. Other translations say it's of great price or it's of great worth. And if you were to find more and more in your electronic device of modern English versions, you would find words that are quite similar, that it means something to God. May not mean something to anybody else in society, except those of like precious faith, but it means something to God. Amen. And so, being daughters of Sarah, sons of Abraham, oh, what a blessing. Thank God. And thank God there are still men and women today who are following what this word says, obeying what this word says, following through on what this word says. And so, we go back to the beginning here where God says, "Hearken unto me. Hearken unto me, ye that follow righteousness," and then so on. And he goes through all of that. Listen. Listen to the Lord. My goodness, there's a cacophony of voices today. There are all kinds of calls, all kinds of interests, all kinds of trying to get your attention. Advertising, those advertising people, they spend hours trying to find a way to attract your attention. They're professionals. They're experts. And so you've got to be on your guard. And you've got to make sure you're listening to a higher voice. You're not trying to follow what's going on with the world. You're not trying to fit in with this society. You're looking for a heavenly home. Praise God. You're going to a better place. So have your heart tuned into his voice. Praise God. Doing the will of the Lord. He's the shepherd. Jesus talked about the shepherd in John 10. He said, the shepherd, I call him by name. And the sheep hear my voice. And they know that it's not a hireling. It's the shepherd. It's the one who died for them. It's the one who gave himself for them. And they know his voice. Praise God. That's got to be our relationship with the Lord in this hour. With all of the noise going on, all of the distractions, all of the depressive things that are happening internationally. Greece and its monetary problems, and Africa with its ethnic cleansing stuff going on, and the Islamic turmoil. It just goes on and on. And our situation right here, where's it going to end? You know, the Supreme Court and their decision. Oh, boy, they opened the Pandora's box now. There's going to be everybody coming up with, you know, their ideas about, I've got a right to do this. You know, four or five of us got a right to get married. Oh, my goodness. So all of this noise, all of this racket, I've got to be in tune to him. Hearken unto me, he's calling. Listen to me. Be close enough to me so you can hear my voice. I'm calling you by name. Listen to me and call upon my name. Praise God. Thank the Lord that we can have that situation. Laodicea now. Laodicea had gained so much, but they lost even more. They didn't even know their true condition. They thought, we're rich, we're increased with goods, we don't need anything. We're going on. Everything's good. But the Lord said, no, you're wretched. You're naked. You're miserable. You need to buy of me gold tried in the fire. You need to have your eyes anointed. You need garments so your nakedness does not appear. Totally opposite from what they thought. You don't even know you're lukewarm. God help us. That's why he says, hearken unto me. And it was Laodicea, a Jesus name, Holy Ghost filled church, just like us. A church that went against opposition. A church that was persecuted by the Roman Empire. A church that stood for a while for the truth. But now the Lord is knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. Praise God. What an incredible opportunity for fellowship with the Lord. We just take the time to open our hearts to him and let him come in and bless us and strengthen us and sustain us and uplift us, not only by his presence, but what he has to provide for us. Praise God. And the supping is the sustenance that I've got to have. Not just the natural food, but the spiritual food that I'm going to exist on. I'm going to last through all of the problems and difficulties. Amen. That's what I want to be in tune with. Praise God. Now, obviously, I don't want the Lord shut out of my life. I don't, but I want to invite him in. And I want to come into his presence again and again. I want to be blessed by his power over and over. I want to feast on his word. I want to be touched and strengthened by his spirit. Would you stand with me tonight? Praise God. Thank the Lord that we can know the goodness of God. And be aware of our real condition when we're wandering away. Amen. Be aware of where we need to stop and turn and do the right thing. Be aware of how we've got to turn back and find our place again in the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Thank God that we can know his goodness and his strength. Praise God, because I want him to know my name. Not just from a God who is omniscient, but because we have a relationship. Praise God. And I definitely want to trust in his name. We hear it being used in vain and profanity every day and more and more prevalent. We hear it being mocked. We hear the scripture being fulfilled. They're haters of those that are good. And we're seeing the foundation starting to be destroyed. The foundation be destroyed. What can the righteous do? The Bible says. I'm not going to let my foundation be destroyed. Amen. There may be things that are changing in society, but my foundation, I'm going to hold on. Praise God. I'm going to hold on to what God has for me. And I trust that you're going to do the same. Praise God. Would you come to the front and we're going to pray together. We're going to call on the Lord together. We're going to believe the Lord together. Praise God. Thank the Lord that we can know the goodness that he desires to display. Praise the Lord. If that's cold on you, ladies, go ahead and turn that off. I don't want people to be...